Welcome to the number one Marvel-related podcast show out there that I'm involved in. It's the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you for joining the Bennett Brothers Podcast, where we dedicate this podcast. Oh, spoiler alert. By the way, if you haven't watched the latest episode, Leap of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, we're going to spoil the heck out of it, tell you everything about it. We're dedicating this episode to Agent Davis. Yes, we are. But before we get into the episode, we want to know.
I thought he was going to be dead in the last one.
We thought he was dead when he was Ada, when she came out as Hive and killed him. And then he had a great come to life story. Anyways, we'll get into that. We want to know your thoughts. Go to Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. There's a lot of good stuff we've been posting up on there lately. A lot of good interviews about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the stuff that happened in the San Diego Comic-Con 2019, which we're going to talk about here just momentarily. You can also go to Twitter, go to @BennettBrosPod, or send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. Also head over to Patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast and check out some of those mini-casts. We're going to be putting one up there soon. So stay tuned for that, and the only way you can get that is if you donate. If you donate, that helps us out, and that helps the world out, I would assume. I don't know.
No, helps keep the lights on, helps us expand this podcast for more people to listen to. Just, hey, found out, hey, Christian, you listen to the podcast. Nice to meet you, Christian. That was
Christian.
Nice. That was awesome. And, again, we're thinking about putting out a few more mini-casts. Right now we're so deep into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that they're coming. We're going to probably do some podcasts. You know, we do a couple of top five kind of stuff because it's an easy connection that gets our thought process going. Like maybe their top five cartoon shows of our childhood or the top something of something
cereals.
Else. No. But things that are related. That's just an
top
example.
Five.
If you have any suggestions, please let us know and we will maybe do them if they're good and they'll be fine.
Or if they're bad, we might do them anyway.
So check us out there. Where, Joel?
Yes, patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. All right, before we get into the latest episode, Leap. Moment of silence again.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord.
We're going to talk about the news.
All right.
And this is a big news one for us. Big news dump here.
Yes. Come here to take it a big dump. All right. So if you've been under a rock, well done. Because the San Diego Comic-Con took place this weekend, which is notoriously for releasing trailers and lots of info in the pop culture world. And this one was really exciting because after several years of being away, Marvel Cinematic Universe decided to enter there and give us their Phase 4 slate of projects, which is a total of 11. We're going to go into those a little bit, but that is very exciting. And there's a lot of information
could change,
around it.
Because it did last time.
Well, no. There's a Spider-Man movie coming out that's not listed in here. And we don't know where other films are listed. But we're going to focus on this. They also did just announce today that D23, which is coming up in a month, they're going to give more information for Marvel shows and or movies there. I'm very excited about that. I'm very interested in all this. Before we get into this, it's like we're going to talk about the Disney Plus shows and how this is finally awesome how it's going to tie in, but it really, really, really puts a point to what S.H.I.E.L.D. is and how, by the very nature of how it was created, it was always going to be a tricky thing because the TV shows that are being made through Disney Plus are basically just going to be long movies that are put out in their once in their story and they're done. S.H.I.E.L.D., and I guess to a smaller degree the Netflix shows, is burdened by having to put out something new every year and working in a time frame where the movies can adjust and jump 1 year, 5 years, whatever they want to. The TV show is always going to be lacking in that area. But, and so consequently, now we feel like this show is no longer attached. Now, there was an interview that I just watched yesterday
on the Bennett Brothers Podcast Facebook
yes,
page
with Joss Whedon and
Marissa Tankerin.
Yeah, and Jeff. Bell,
yep. Jeff Bell.
Yep. And they were talking about that they will address this at some point. They will address the Thanos thing. We'll see if they do. They said they have an idea, plan, whatever. It should be great.
I believe them. I mean, they sounded obviously a little wishy washy here and there, but they did sound pretty genuine about like, oh no, that's going to get answered. We just couldn't do it because there's so much going on.
The one comment that Marissa made in there. When she said that phrase, she goes, because right now we're going to just We're kind of living in our own mythology. Get the hell out of here living in our own mythology. You know what mythology I want you to live in? It's the Marvel MCU mythology. That's the mythology. I get it what you're saying. You're trying to say, look, we're just going to focus because we got 7 years of all of this wonderful stuff, which, by the way, they're, as we're speaking, they're filming the final episode of the entire series.
Two-parter. It's going to be a two-parter, too.
They're filming it right now. And, you know, we in a future podcast, we'll speculate about what the last season will be, who will come back, who won't, all that kind of fun
stuff.
And
the future of these characters, will they ever appear anywhere else?
It'd be some tricky writing, because from Kevin Feige's side, with the division of Marvel Television versus the MCU, it's so separate at this point that he's like, He can play nice, but he doesn't have to do anything that he doesn't want to. Yes, they did pull in an Agent Carter character in the Avengers Endgame movie, which was nice. So there's clearly representation there.
He had more work on Agent Carter, though, Kevin Feige.
But I'm saying, but you know, you can pick and choose, and you can differentiate that. And obviously, I watched another article, Jeff Loeb, because when they made the announcement, this is part of the San Diego Comic-Con announcement, this was a big deal before we get the treasure, was season is the final season. The final 13 episodes, it will be season 7. Now, they announced that. They said that they're making the decision to cancel it before ABC cancels it again or something like that.
Apparently in the ratings, though, this is up there with some of the bigger
even
shows.
Though even though the Nielsen ratings right away aren't huge, they're 2 day, 7 day, 10 day, all of those different things are really good. So the show does really well in secondary and third markets.
You know, it's so funny because we talked about this in our early podcast. Go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com to see all our early podcasts. One of the things about the show was the connectivity. There is another universe, another now cinematic universe, that's doing the thing backwards. The Walking Dead universe. They went from the television shows, and now they're making the movies, and they're going to connect. So they're doing what we want to do the opposite way.
Yes.
I think that's fantastic. So I'm hoping like
the X-Files.
Yeah, or X-Files was over. Star Trek's a great example of it. Wasn't it? I think the best trailer. Yeah,
I didn't mean to diverge you. We'll talk about
you
that.
Totally
in a second.
Did.
I know we'll talk about that in a second. Right, well, unless your point's done, I think your point. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's interesting to see that. We want them to continue these characters because we do like these characters a lot. I'd like to see them continue beyond this. We'll see.
In the interview, Jeff Loeb again. I'm not the biggest Jeff Loeb fan, just because of his attitude, and he's messed up a lot of stuff. He wrote some really good comic books and all this stuff, but I've just not been a fan. I need him to impress me, and he hasn't, and he doesn't want to impress me. So we're good. We talked about it. Jeff and I don't agree. but he's out there talking about like where Marvel Shield stands in the pantheon of all of these shows, and he's like, oh, it's our flagship show. It's like, we're not even saying it was the flagship show. He goes, no, it is the flagship show. And I'm like, you're saying that because this is all you got left. Your Netflix shows are done, and right now what are you spinning? You're spinning off Ghost Rider and Son of Satan. We'll see how those do.
You still have Runaways,
and you do have Cloak and Dagger.
Well,
yes,
maybe we don't know about Cloak and Dagger.
He's like, this is our flagship show. Yeah, because the other one's on Freeform Network and one's on Hulu. I shouldn't dismiss those because those could be bigger things down the road, especially the Hulu. But the fact of the matter is him out of there. Get the whole.
They tried to put a Kevin Feige in charge of the television, and it just didn't work.
And it's not necessarily all his fault. It's because Isaac Perlman, who is the multi-billionaire who's part of the thing who sold it to Disney, he still kept his hands in this. He was the one that was all over the MCU and was real cheap about stuff and everything until finally Kevin Feige, when he went to Disney, basically he said, Disney, can you give me control? And Disney's like, yeah, you're done. And he kicked Ike out of it. And now that's why Ike Perlman is so deep into, he was the one who was like, let's do Inhumans because he didn't want to deal with Fox dealing with the mutants. There's a whole backstory, which I'm sure I talked about before. Bottom line is, this is the end of this part of the Marvel television show in the future, aside from those two that we talked about and the Runaways. And Cloak and Dagger. We'll see what happens there because we're going to be dealing with this such
Disney
a cohesive whole of TV shows and movies that it's just going to be mind-blowing how things are going to be here. It's like, yes, so instead of getting two or three movies a year, we're now going to be getting, over the next 2 years, for all intents and purposes, we're getting 10 movies. The 11th on their schedule I'll mention is the animated What If series. We'll talk about that in a second, what that is. I don't really count that. But the between the movies and the TV shows, in 2 years, we're going to be getting 11 movies. Just a couple of these movies happen to be like 8 hours long, which is even more exciting.
I know.
And that's, yeah. So before I say the list, I'm going through the what we want to talk about. If there's any news that jumped up, that Joel, that you were looking at, there are going to be two Halloween sequels that are going to wrap up this until there's another one coming out.
They're going to be called Halloween and Halloween.
No, no, they've actually gotten. I'll click on the name. You gotta make me. But yes, they're making two more Halloweens based on the existing new one that came out. So what that means is, guess what? He ain't dying in the next one, because the next one's called Halloween Kills, and the last one.
So
is
the movies
be called,
go Halloween. Halloween.
Oh, no, don't go through this
kills. One. No, I hate it. Why do they call Mike Myers Michael Myers? Why can't they just use the word Michael Myers?
Why do they call Miles Morales Spider-Man? Answer that question first, and then I'll tell you why they did it.
He wears a spider suit.
So does Spider-Woman. They don't call her Spider-Man. Doom, boom, shakalaka-laka.
They call her Spider-Man.
Why are they calling the new Hawkeye?
Well, that's why they call the new Thor.
Exactly. There we go. So Halloween is going to be
in 2020. Why are they calling the new James Bond
007? 2020 Halloween Kills, and then 2021 Halloween End. And then it doesn't say in this article, but then in 2022, Halloween is coming out. So that'll bring that back. One of the more exciting pieces of news, again, we're building up to Marvel. Mm-hmm. Slow down. Slow your roll, people at home, including you, Ed Pierce. The Crisis of Infinite Earths television crossover between the Arrowverse stuff, which, again, I've abandoned all those shows except for when they do this crossover, and I will watch at least the first two episodes of Batwoman. I'm gonna, I tried Black Lightning too, but I'm gonna watch Batwoman.
Black Woman's on that. Black Lightning.
Black Woman?
Black.
Wow. Okay, here we go. I'm the CW. Black or Bat Lightning. Bat Lightning would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
But no, I'm going to watch the crossovers. I'll watch all there'll be four of them. That's not until December and January. But having said that, the announcement that Brandon Rao, who plays the Atom on Legends of Tomorrow, will be dressing up as Superman, but not necessarily the
Bryan
costume.
Singer?
It's going to be the Superman from Kingdom Come, which you could say his Superman was getting to that, right? Because his Superman is basically the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's exciting. It's exciting. I'm like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, pull in Superman from Smallville. I'll watch it just for like, it'll give me 5 seconds of like, oh, cool. And then like, all right, yeah, it's still pretty stupid. There's Cisco. Okay. But, you know, I'm excited. I thought that was, do you feel any interest? You know, that doesn't excite you at all, that not just a little bit?
No. I've already seen him on the shows.
But if he's playing that character, if it's a continuation of that movie, if they bring Tom Welling in from Smallville just for 5 minutes, I've been in this scenario before with other things.
Flash
where
character.
You like this kind of stuff with your Annabelle universe, where it's like if they just touch and cross over. It's like,
but I like those Annabelle movies.
Okay, you really didn't watch the Flash series from 1990.
1990,
but,
I was nine.
I know, but
I
barely
remember.
But when they did the last crossover where all of a sudden he was on there, you kind of appreciated that just for what it was.
Of
that's,
course. No,
that's
when I used
all
to watch
I'm
the
saying.
Show, when I used to watch the show, I did enjoy the show. Problem is, it just got too big. You know, this goes
isn't the Marvel universe too big? Would you imagine if all those, what if the Marvel shows were in this much but done with
same
quality?
You know, it might be that
too
case.
Too big isn't a problem.
It might be that case because we've put up with some bad Marvel stuff, though. In humans, we wouldn't watch all of that if we
weren't
doing this podcast.
Back to what we were talking about
earlier. Or, I mean, even some of these later Netflix shows.
We'll talk about that when we do our Jessica Jones podcast. Like, three. Oh, my God. We're ready to do that real soon.
I think there's an oversaturation. Now, Marvel doesn't seem to be doing that because, one, it's the movies, so it's a little bit different. And, two, the quality level is still really strong. Their storytelling is really good. You know, here's the thing.
But see, that's your argument.
You
said it was too much. That's different.
I actually got Jerry back in the day. This is like early 2000s, something like that. I got him. We started watching wrestling. Monday Night Raw, it was good stuff. It was the Attitude Era, it was good times. And then they had SmackDown, and you had to watch SmackDown too. Then they had some shows on Sunday night. Then you had to watch the pay-per-views, and then it just oversaturated. And there was just too much.
I never watched wrestling.
You liar.
But
there was just
too much.
I watched
the movie with The Rock in it one time, and I'm like, okay, that sounds like
The Rock with Sean Connery?
Yes.
But you can oversaturate, and I feel like that's what happened with the CW shows. There was just too much going on.
And
I can't watch this anymore. And you have to watch it in order,
too. No, but
too.
I'm saying you're diverting on this, but the last thing I want to say in this is the argument of too much is only in connection with the fact that the quality was low.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
I think
that's
a bigger thing. Because if it was done like the Marvel shows, if they were incredible, I'd be like, it's not too much. Give me more. Mm-hmm. This, I'm just going to stop watching other things and watch this.
I would agree. So, but the quality was not.
Exactly.
It was mediocre at best.
Speaking of quality, you saw the next trailer for The Boys on Netflix, which is based on a Garth Ennis comic book. I'm excited for it. The book is gross.
The Boys, I feel like The Boys is going to be like, we're going to watch and it's going to be like Deadliest Class. Was that the sci-fi?
Deadly Class, yeah.
Deadly Class, like, oh, look out, and then it fades away. But the only other show I can compare that to, like, maybe it'll live up to, oh, God, now I'm going to forget.
What's Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. Thank you for reading my mind. Mm-hmm. That's why we do a Bennett Brothers podcast.
Actually, The Boys, if I said The Boys were on Netflix, I meant to say Amazon Prime. Yeah. Yes. The other interesting things coming out of Comic-Con, trailer was great.
I'm going to run you through real fast. I'm going to run you through trailers.
I know.
Tell me yay or nay.
I was doing it. Oh, you see, there's a bunch of them. I got them in front of me.
I'm going to do it too. Ready? Dark Crystal.
Only for nostalgic reasons.
Terminator.
Oh, yes.
Top Gun.
Also nostalgic reasons.
I want to see Val Kilmer in the next trailer. I saw a picture of him recently, and they're going to have to do some serious CG.
It looked pretty cool, though. Some of the camera stuff. Westworld Season 3.
By the way, Top Gun, it's like in the trailer, they make the comment that, like, he's got the most shoot downs of enemy planes out of all. Like, that number's three.
Three.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, Westworld 3. Fantastic.
Good stuff. Watchmen.
Yes.
You know, hey, if you guys out there, you want to hear a fun podcast, Jerry and I could do The Watchmen because I did not read the books. Jerry has read the books.
I'll give you the book.
He's read the book. He's read the
prequels, too.
All that kind of stuff. And this is not technically the Watchmen comic. This is something else. Correct?
This is afterwards. And we don't know if it's going to tie into the movie or if it's going to tie into the comic books and everything. And there's another one that DC is doing right now called something. But Doomsday Clock, which is totally different than this, too.
So that might be something we talk about here. So if you were interested in something like that, because Jerry has a wealth of knowledge.
You're more excited about that than doing The Mandalorian. You're blowing my mind.
His Dark Materials. That's the Compass movies.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what that is. It looks good. I'll watch it.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm going to skip that one real fast. Snowpiercer TV show? You like Snowpiercer, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. They've already approved a second season. I want to know how this is going to be different because the movie kind of like, there's the story. Mm-hmm. We'll see. That's another one that could be like exciting, and then I realize after like three episodes, oh, they're just going through this train every episode.
That could be fun, though. I like that kind of stuff.
It could be if it's done well.
Yeah. The Witcher. I am all in on this.
Well, he's never ripped. He is so ripped in that one scene where he's just sitting there. Yes, I'm excited for that.
I've never read the books.
Nick, I own the book.
Nick was the games.
Nick was never about the game. After he saw the trailer, I was like, that actually interested me.
I hear the game is one of the greatest games to play. It's awesome. I'm excited. Carnival Row. It's Prime. It's a Prime TV show.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
The Expanse Season 4.
Yes.
Try to get into it. And that's all I got here. We got the one more, but do you got any other trailers?
Just some CW stuff and...
Oh, the new Supernatural. Yeah. Some stuff for that.
You know, they keep pushing Doom Patrol 2, Season 2. I can't get through Season 1. It's just...
Don't.
People love it, and they're like, I like Titans. I didn't care for Doom Patrol, though.
So should we talk about the best trailer that there was?
I'm just checking to make sure there's no other trailers, and I think you're good. Oh, man, there's a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to...
Marvel?
Yeah.
There is. Well, I just wanted
to... So you're talking about the big exciting one, which obviously is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood starring Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers.
Absolutely. Tom Hanks. T. Hanks. Thanks.
I get it.
It's great. No, the greatest trailer to come out of... And one of us, I don't know which one, probably the other one. One buys Disney Plus, the other one's going to get CBS All Access. I don't know. Because the Picard trailer came out. Holy moly. I've watched that probably four or five times. I get emotional through it. I weirdly like goosebumps. It's not crying.
You know what's
like,
weird is it has such a weird Logan vibe. It's like, I'm an old man in this one and I'm doing this and I'm walking. I'm like, didn't you just do this in another film, Xavier? You know?
What's the part that got
engaged?
That's when he smiles and says it. That's great.
Well, there's three parts. That, 7 of 9.
7 of 9 was.
Hey, you know what? 7 plus 9. Perfect 10 as far as I'm concerned.
I'm watching that trailer going, this looks cool. Oh, it's really well done. This is awesome. And then 7 of 9? Because
that opens up the world to like 7 of 9. That means, Dr. Bashir is going to be in this one.
Man.
Oh, you know, Chakotay. Don't put Chakotay in it.
What if he's awesome? If they take
They did bring in the last, Janeway was in the last Star Trek movie for all of 2 seconds. And the Doctor was in First Contact.
Yep.
So it's clearly a world out there. And they can bring in that character that was created for Deep Space Nine, Worf. He shows up every now and again. But yes, obviously the very last scene.
Data or or is it B4? Or is it lore?
What his name should be B9.
B4.
Also in the and Hugh is there. Mm-hmm. Which like Hugh, he was in 3 episodes. He's a Borg.
Well, so is who else is
number one, oh Riker, and
Riker and Troy.
Troy,
Deanna Troy. Thank you. Yeah, they were there.
I just want to know if Barclay's going to be in there. Barclay. Oh, no, Barclay. Barclay Lounger. A Barclay Lounger. No.
Geordi. Is Geordi going to make an appearance? His eyes are fixed because blindness should be fixed in the future. No, so that trailer, though, was awesome. I still haven't seen Discovery Season 2, but I will. I just haven't had a chance.
Well, when you buy CBS All Access. Because that's how I watched it. Wink.
He didn't even wink when he made that sound.
Thank you, website in Czechoslovakia.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so.
Holy smokes.
That was a lot of talking about that stuff. So let's just go through the exciting moments that happened when the Marvel panel happened. So they showed up. Kevin Feige gives us the overhead announcement of all the stuff coming. And they bypass the first thing on the timeline, which we'll talk about at the end, too, just because it's interesting. So they introduce The Eternals, which is the film that is going to be coming to theaters November 6th of 2020. So a little over a year and 3 months. Has a big cast. Obviously, Angelina Jolie is the big attraction name there to it.
Is it Salma Hayek as well? Or
Yes. And, you know, there's, you know, and Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, he's great.
A bunch of people in there. We'll see what this can do. This could go the way of Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're introducing something or not. Joel, tell me about the director, Chloe Zhao. All right, so the next one was for the first show coming to exclusively to Disney Plus. It is the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and the Winter Soldier, not Captain America anywhere in there. And this will be coming in the fall of 2020, which will probably be, I'm guessing, before Eternals, but maybe right around that same time period. It's kind of funny how they. Actually, they look on the list here. They actually have it coming earlier, so it will be earlier than that. They've already talked about how there'll be other characters popping here and there that we know.
Sure.
Cameos, pop-ups, appearances, all sorts of things. What was exciting about this was as they were giving the presentation, which, by the way, Saturday night, this all happened Saturday evening, and I was out, and then when I got back late that night, I was playing cards, and I kind of was watching bits and pieces, like, oh, that's kind of exciting. But then when I got back, somebody had posted the thing online. So I was going to go to bed. I ended lying in bed with my iPad on 2.5 speed for an hour watching almost most of the panel. But it was like such a poor version because everybody on YouTube's afraid of getting their strikes against them. So they took the sound would disappear. And every time they go, how about this movie? And then they would cut to just the sign and everybody cheering. I'm like, the most exciting part is when people see the titles and go, they took that out. It was just, I was like, you're killing me. Killing me. I finally found a couple of them online that somebody had put on
there. Once Disney Plus is up, they'll be airing these things on. Because I know a lot of the panels, like,
well, they want to make something.
They put the panels on the DVDs now.
I know, but they want to make this something special for them there. But it's like the best part of when he did that before was watching people lose their minds, and you're taking that away. It's like when the Star Wars trailer just hit at the last Star Wars convention. It was so exciting. But what happened at this part when the Falcon and the Winter Soldier are on stage is. They get interrupted by Baron Zemo on the big screen, and then he actually puts on the mask. And today, they finally released the rough picture.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't actually
watch it. It's on our Facebook page. But I was just like, I couldn't believe it took that long. And it's only because it's on there is because the actor, Daniel Brühl, put it on his Instagram. So that was exciting. I'm very excited about the fact that they're going to be putting him in costume. Then the next show is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. They're going to bring in the Mandarin. This is the big excitement about this. This is February 12, 2021. So it's right around the corner from actually the Eternals. And the actor is this Chinese-Canadian unknown. What's exciting is they got Andy Lung. He's been in, I watched him in so many Asian films in the 90s. He's in Chinese Ghost Story 3 and plethora of films. Guy was awesome, and he's going to be playing the Mandarin, so that's very exciting. They decided to take the Mandarin. This is brilliant on Marvel's part. The Mandarin character that it can be very problematic in this
PC culture.
21st century cultured world, and they've decided to take him out of the Iron Man world and put him into the Shang-Chi world, which would be better for this, and they've also replaced Fu Manchu, which in the comics is actually Shang-Chi's father, and Fu Manchu is a very terrible old stereotype character sure. that should be retired, and I think that's what they've done with that. So I'm excited about that. It's directed by...
Yeah, I don't know anything about that character.
It's directed by Destin Daniel Cretton. Tell me about him, Joel.
Wink.
There's another wink. All right. And then we're going to go into WandaVision. Now, everybody has a problem with the name WandaVision. I think I understand why it's called WandaVision now. It's a play on television. In the fact that it's Wanda...
WandaVision?
No, it's playing on... I think it's like... We're going to be seeing... this is a TV series, obviously starring Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany as Wanda and the Vision. And it's going to be... We don't know much about it. We've heard things about... There's something set in a 50s setting. I think it's going to be a television... Like, she's going to be reality hopping or whatever. And it's going to be like... I believe it's WandaVision is in relation to television in that play on it. And the interesting thing that they announced about this was that they're going to have the adult version of Monica Rambeau, who we saw in Captain Marvel as the little girl. She's now an adult, and she's going to be in it, which ties it into Captain Marvel. And obviously in the comic books, Monica Rambeau was Captain Marvel, and then she was Photon, and then she was Spectrum, and then she's changed names so many times. I don't know which one they're going to go back to. Pretty sure she's not going back to Captain Marvel, but we'll see what happens with that. And that comes in the spring of 2021 on Disney Plus.
Monica Rocky.
Then we go to what I thought was going to be the early one, because I thought this was already starting to film this one. But apparently, this is where Loki comes in. Loki is also spring of 2021.
Adventures after getting the Tesseract.
Yes, this is him coming out of Endgame. This is the one that the last time he saw anything was him getting smushed and beaten by the Hulk. So we do not see any more progress of the character from where our Loki we've spent this whole time. Unless he can go to the future and see himself there, maybe that will be the progress. So that's always interesting when you take a character and you play him again, but he doesn't have the growth that the character's had in the fiction. Then we get to another crazy title. This is the first of the sequels that were announced. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 would have been in this title, but that's been pushed. So we get to Doctor Strange 2, or is what it's called, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I'm in.
That's a fantastic title. That's
same
coming
director
in
May, in the first movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me what he's done. He did the first movie. Fantastic.
They also said that
Scott Derrickson.
Scarlet Witch is going
to
be.
Yes, and that's going to tie directly coming out of her WandaVision show, which is great. This is May 7th of 2021.
But it's supposed to be a different one.
It's going
to
be a horror one.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the first scary one, and Scarlet Witch is supposed to be kind of even different, and like supposed to be more... I don't know, badass or something.
Well, she's changed. She's living her powers, and she's going to find out.
She's a villain?
I don't know. I would hope not. That would seem to be wrong. That would seem to be problematic in our PC cultured world. If he's
but
got
I'm
a,
in.
You know,
I get what you're saying, but I love the Doctor Strange movies. So.
And the next thing was again the one that I don't really count is the What If animated series, which will actually have Jeffrey Wright as the voice of the Watcher, and they're going to have pretty much everybody in the show is going to be voiced by from there, except for Tony Stark and Captain America, and even them they could change. And they've said that it's not going to be what-if stories, like what if Wolverine was involved and what if Fantastic Four. It's going to basically focus on the 23 existing movies and do what-if scenarios based around those. And there's
what if Coulson never died kind of thing?
What if, you know, Marvel became zombies, because there's talk about the Marvel zombies. This is going to be a 20-some episode animated series. Yes, it's part of the universe, but it's not what we're talking about. But yeah, we'll watch it and love it. Then we get to another Disney Plus show for the fall of 2021, which is the Hawkeye series, which I did see the opening online. Where he actually put that up, just his animated logo, and you actually get to see the reveal that Kate Bishop's going to be in there playing the very differently named character of Hawkeye. So we're going to see that connection there, and I think they're going to cross. I think Hawkeye's going to show up in Black Widow. Sure. That they're going to. I have a real feeling that's going to happen. But they did say that the Hawkeye show is going to also show times when he was Ronin, because the Ronin thing never got utilized in the Avengers Endgame, because apparently they felt the movie was just long enough. They didn't want to add another 20 minutes to it. But we will see that, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Then we come to the big surprise one, which is the Thor 4, called Thor Love and Thunder.
Someone posted a meme online, the titles of the movies and like the logos for Thor, Thor Dark World, Thor Ragnarok, Thor Love and Thunder, and they just keep getting bigger and more like crazy. And I think it's such a great name, Thor Love and Thunder.
They're bringing Taika Waititi is coming back as the writer-director. Very excited about that. I just saw his trailer today for Jojo Rabbit, where he plays an imaginary silly Adolf Hitler. The guy's gutsy as heck.
Piss off, rabbit.
It's pretty good, Joe. But obviously, this is exciting. November 5th, 2021. We are going to see Valkyrie as a character again, and Thor as a character again, and then we're going to see Natalie Portman will be returning as Jane Foster, and she's going to become the Mighty Thor, which means that she's going to be from the Thor arc that's in the comic book right now.
We'll see what happens. People love that arc, though.
I've heard
people that really like that arc.
It went on too long.
Did it go on too long?
Too long. It's clever. The movie's going to do it, but in the comic, the real piece of it is in reality, she's got cancer and she's doing chemo to take care of the cancer. But every time she does the Thor power, she's fine. But then she loses all the cancer. So every time she goes back to Jane Foster, she's sicker and sicker and sicker. But she has to be a hero. Great story arc. It all dealt with the fact that the comic books, Thor became unworthy for the hammer, because basically Nick Fury. He said, Nick Fury's like, I could take you down in one word. Nick Fury comes up and whispers in his ear, and all of a sudden Thor couldn't pick up his hammer again, which was really brilliant. He just whispered a couple words in his ear, and all of a sudden Thor was unworthy. It was really good. So that's where that all built up to it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's already, by the way, that's already
Natalie Portman. I'm like,
That's already passed. Now she, there is no more female Thor or four. No, that's a terrible name. But they have, she's actually become Valkyrie now. So, and Thor is back to being worthy. Although he has an eye patch and a robot arm, because comics.
He might get a robot eye and lose the eye patch.
Oh, I love every part of that. Well, he does have he has a fake eye now.
That happened. Yeah, it's Rocky got him that eye.
The comic books just now had Aquaman get the Jason Momoa tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got your magic tattoos. Like, now he's going to start talking like, dude. So then it brings us to the last thing, which is actually the first thing coming out May of 2020. That is the Black Widow movie that they've been shooting for a month. They introduced the cast and everything. David Harbour.
I gotta wait till May till I get anything from Marvel. Come on.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
That wasn't all they announced. They did announce they are doing a Fantastic Four movie.
Yes. Well, they said they didn't have time to talk about Fantastic Four. Didn't have time to talk about Guardians 3 or Captain Marvel 2 or Black Panther 2, because all those are coming.
Oh, yeah.
And the mutants. He did mention mutants. People are losing their mind. They did debate if they were going to talk about movies that were dealing with Phase 4 or Phase 5 together, or just Phase 4, and they figured, let's just do Phase 4. There is no Avengers movie this time, but it's probably going to lead towards Phase 5, which they already know they're building towards it. The same way that Thanos was the background for this last phase, building up to the Thanos. They're going to be building that up. Galactus.
Maybe.
Annihilation Wave with Annihilus, which is a Fantastic Four creation in the Negative Zone that they're going to learn all about. That's what's happening. It's Annihilation. I'm telling you, I've already done it. But then the big ending was that they had Mahershala Ali came out, and he is going to be playing Blade. Wesley Snipes just threw himself off a building recently because he's like, no! And he goes, it's all cool. It's all cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Blade.
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is it in the universe?
Oh, yeah. It says Marvel Studios.
Yeah, Blade. I know it says Marvel Studios. I'm in. As long as they have some homage to that kick-ass nightclub scene at the beginning of the movie with that music. Just put it in there somehow. Just they'll do something clever. You know they will.
But they will. But the nightclub will turn out to be the nightclub he had in Harlem in Luke Cage when he was Cottonmouth.
Oh yeah, it's a little.
And that's how they'll do it. And he'll be like standing there with the.
There's been a couple people in the Marvel streaming who have played multiple parts, also from Luke Cage.
Name her.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I will give you $1 million.
you won't.
Elfrey Woodard. Yes. Woodard.
They can always just go. Yeah, the Netflix shows don't exist.
I think they've already done that. I think we're going to see a Daredevil at some point and like, surprise, it's Daredevil, and here he is. And it's going to be nothing.
We're just
going to
erase our podcast on those then, too. They don't count.
That's like saying our Inhumans podcast don't count, or our Legion
that
podcast.
Still counts. Legion was a separate thing. So, okay, yeah. So that was, wow. Wow, that's everything. Is that everything Marvel-wise?
Well, we've only talked for 6 hours at this point.
Holy
longer than
moly.
The conference.
Yeah, we are half an hour into our podcast.
Apologies
and we have not talked
if
about...
you didn't want to hear any of that, but I guess we'll start talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. now. So we felt that was important stuff. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
This is also important stuff.
This is episode called Leap. Joel, what did you think of this episode?
I love this, and I know you probably love this episode too.
It was really good. It was good. I know it was good because it went by really fast.
It's an homage, too, for one of your favorite movies of all time. This is totally an homage to The Thing.
Road Warrior.
Yeah, get out of here. The Thing, you know, the sequel.
I didn't really put it together for Thing.
Yeah, it is. What body has it now?
Like, well, now I'm thinking about it.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It was fun watching it the second time, because there's certain times you're like, it was like one time.
It was really clever how they did not go back. I was thinking they're going to go back and show us all the times she did that, but they showed it how it was done so that they were able to say it without showing having it happen to Davis. Because I remember we called this last week.
Yes. Our question was, is Davis going to die?
But then as soon... But, okay, so yes. When we talked, and by last week, I mean like a couple of days ago, whenever we did the stupid podcast, it was... the question was, because you had not seen...
The Next Time On.
The Next Time On. And
still
but
I haven't seen that.
But I mean, The Next Time On showed that Coulson was coming back. And that's all I knew about that. Sarge was coming back. But the fact that May was the one who did the shooting was like, oh, well, then Davis should be fine because well, she's taken over.
We no, didn't know if Davis had died, though.
But I mean, I made the detective move of looking like, well, now May has it. So clearly, when Izell leaves the character, May isn't going to die. So Davis should
that's
be
a,
okay.
That's a good point. You didn't make that in the last podcast, but that is a good point.
I believe I did.
All right. We'll start
I like this episode.
We'll start in the lighthouse. We'll get right into it. Here we go. We have Fitz and Simmons. I like this scene right here where we have Fitz and Simmons running through the corridor. We actually get to see the size of their set.
That corridor goes on a long.
Yeah, they
I wrote down here lots
thing.
Of hallway sets.
We probably just saw all the hallway sets. Like that was it. But I thought that was really cool, just like a behind the scenes kind of thing. Really clever.
This episode had no cuts the entire episode.
Yeah, get out of here. Mac and Yo-Yo, they question May because she's in there, and she's like, yeah, I did it. What's up?
It had to be done, she said.
Yep. And then we see her. She gets locked up with Quake in the room, and Quake starts questioning her.
And she says, you've gone silenter.
Yeah, and the reason I know this is an all-one camera take is because they do a lot of this transition in this episode where they were like, they're on someone, and they pan to, like, darkness, and then they continue the pan into another scene. They do that a lot in this episode.
She shoots Sarge, and she says it's done to prevent future suffering. They better explain why she shot him, because
future suffering for her own race.
But what we know happens at the end of this episode, she's all about teaming up with him. So,
well, is she lying?
Yeah,
is
that's
she lying.
Which time?
Exactly.
Okay.
So she's an untrustworthy narrator, I guess.
Yes. Piper arrives,
and then Sarge is healing. And we go into Sarge's dream. I mean, I might have skipped over Piper.
Piper arrives.
Yeah, she just appeared.
And Mac goes and leaves. He goes, he's like, keep an eye on her. I'm going to go look at footage. And they have a guard outside of the room. But then they eventually going to put a guard inside the room. And there's a reason they put a guard inside the room later.
Diaz. But yeah, we go see Sarge's healing. And we get Sarge's dreams.
He's coming back.
We're in his dreams. He's seeing this black figure that we can't tell who it is.
The silhouette to me initially looked like Ada. Because of the forehead and everything, I thought it looked like Ada. That's what I knew it wasn't. But that's what it looked like to
me. But there's definitely a loving kind of capacity thing going on there. There's obviously love for something. Back at in the lighthouse, Yo-Yo mentions. I like this moment. It's like, May doesn't use a gun, and I was like, oh, that's so true. It's like she never uses a gun. We should have put that together.
I was waiting for them also to go like, that's really an issue. She should use a gun more often.
How about an icer? We don't ever use those anymore.
Oh, the icer is a huge issue I have with this episode towards the end. Icers would make a huge difference on certain scenes.
But May is back to normal because they walk in and Diaz, who has her arm in a sling, she walks out. And at this point, I know, like, we're like, oh, there Izell goes as May is like, what am I doing in here? And then I'm skipping around quickly, but we get Piper and we see Piper in the hallway and then she sees someone coming at her, which is Davis.
It looks like she gets hit, but we know what's happening.
She puts some bullets out there. She shoots, she doesn't actually hit Davis or hit Diaz. She gets knocked out. Fitz and Deke, they have a little bonding moment here. And then I love this. Jerry, I don't know if you put this down here. Fitz goes to the computer, and he pulls up one of Jerry's favorite tropes on television. The digital board with string attached to things, where this person's connected to this person, and then this person is connected over to this person. And it's a
digital version.
So the fact that
I'm hoping there was digital tax on the digital yawn.
He actually had to make that. Like, I'm going to make this right now. Hold on a second. Then we see Piper come in. And it is not Piper. She talks, and then she takes one of the shards. What is that a shard of?
That black rock is actually a shrike. It's a shrike before. We've actually seen Izell turn one of these into a shrike on the ship. Nobody else has seen that. I don't know. I wasn't sure. Unless we did see somebody else do that.
I don't think we saw somebody.
Unless we knew that Sarge had them or something. I don't know. No. But yes, they're shrikes.
May is back to her old self, and she's recounting what she's done here, and I like that she knew that Yo-Yo and Mac had sexy time.
Yeah, and that Davis was the last one she's seen.
Actually, Quake finds Diaz, who's
on
the ground.
Who was shot.
There's blood, and her head's bashed. I don't know if she got shot again.
She's like, in the same...
Sound going too rough for me?
No, she's like, she's shot in the same bullet hole. It's from Game.
Yeah, Game Night.
Yeah.
All right, then we go. We're in the morgue, and this is where Simmons is at. She has Sarge down there, and we see that Sarge is almost completely recovered.
His wounds are healed, gone. And she's got Mac in there. Mac says, "Yes, it was a good idea. Don't tell anybody." And then he goes, "I'm going to post a guard here."
And Simmons is like, "No, less people, the better."
And he goes, "Nope, posting a guard here." And this guard is going to be so good that instead of watching the prisoner later on, the guard's just going to be looking over your shoulder going, "Hey, Doc, what's going on the screen right there? You get Tetris on there?" We should be watching a guy breaking his thumb.
You went with Tetris and not with Galaga?
Yes, I did.
We get to see Davis's quarters, and then he's confused. Obviously, he doesn't remember Jocko dying or anything like that. I guess the big important thing here is that he mentions the year 2019. He says the incident, I can't remember the... But he should learn from the incident of 2019. So that puts this at least in the year 2019. And I know...
What incident is he referring to, though, when they basically...
I think it was in space. He was in space. But the only reason I bring this up is because I know we talk about continuity on the show a lot. Where does this take place in the timeline?
Well, they did establish at the beginning of the season that it's a 1 year later. I know we talked last episode about somebody said 5 years when Quake was talking, and I guess that can be confirmed that the 5 years she's talking about was the 5 years that she's been in this life as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, yes. As an agent, because she's been on the show longer. So that's how I'm interpreting that.
So 2019, now. I think that was interesting. We can't make any speculations on how this ties in the MCU anymore until they deal with the snap. And if they're going to deal with it, that's great. If not,
well, again, the MCU is actually taking place in the year 25 years after it. So 2023.
Yes.
It's 2023.
So Piper, who is Izel, she uses the shard to lead her towards something. We don't know what. But she gets interrupted by Deke, who's needing advice on...
Comedy relief. Yep. He needs comedy relief advice.
Yep. And then Izel leaves Piper's body into Deke's body.
And Davis is recalling that Izel memory about seeing her, and then she wasn't there. So they're all putting it together. We're finally getting to see the actual transfer happen, and this is where they kind of go, okay, answer, you know, mm-hmm. And now we know it. And
Deke is walking around. He tries to enter a room, which we don't know, and he is confronted by Agent Julian, who's actually, this is his fourth appearance on the show. He's been in 4 episodes.
Oh, you know he's going to die.
Well, I don't know. They need more background characters. And then this is at the moment where the team is actually putting together what's going on.
They're
going
to lock her in the lighthouse, too. They close all the doors.
Yep, Mac locks down the lighthouse. Quake also mentions, coming up here, that she contacted all the agents in River's End, and that was the town above. She's like, stay low up there. She says, stay low or stay... like. But there's agents outside the place.
Nice piece of dialogue.
Yeah, and like they mentioned that there's a town above them.
Okay, so as everybody enters this room, and the last time we've seen anything was we saw Deke take it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they walked in the room, I'm like, oh, well, Fitz is clearly... Izel at this point. It's clearly at Fitz. It's the way he's looking. And we were supposed to think it's Deke. And it's on this show, it is never who you think it is.
Sure.
It is never who you think it is. So I'm
sure.
Like, oh, well,
Fitz. I went along for the ride.
Yes.
And watching it the second time, it was interesting to watch what they did with the camera and how they held it on Fitz a little longer when he entered in.
Yes, that's what I picked up on that. But we learned that memories are the key. And so they start figuring out that we have to talk about who we are and memory-wise. And I thought the one that was interesting is that we learned that Daisy is sending money to Lincoln's sister out of her expense. That she apparently we find out they do get paid. So that was another major thing. That's huge. It's like, oh my God, they get paid. And you
do
can
they
see
get
like
paid more for the powers they have.
And Mac's like, who's getting paid?
And then I like this moment. So they're figuring out who's like trustworthy and not. Mac locks Yo-Yo and Quake in a room. And I didn't even think about that. Like, that was a brilliant move. Like, now she can't use the weapons against them. And I was like, that's really smart, Mac. Well done. Well done. I like Mac.
And now another move, Mac. Let's throw all the guns in there, too, so she can't hold a gun on anybody. That's an idea. And we'll get out these icers, which don't kill. Why don't we do that, too, Mac? He's like, I'm just going to throw in the two people.
Hang on, gosh, Jerry, nitpick.
I have to pick a little bit. I got to pick a little bit.
We find out that Davis took a space pen.
It was very funny. Which is weird how like they're so jokey with him, and he's a different kind of comic relief. Which does that make the effect that much worse with what happens to him? Because you kind of see that on our characters' faces.
Moment of silence.
We've had enough moments. You can have a movement of silence at this point.
I have a movement. Yeah. Piper comes in and she starts accusing Deke, and then they start going back and forth here. And then Mac looks at Fitz. He's like, "Hey, when we first met, where was Simmons undercover?" What's the answer, Jay?
And I was waiting for him to say, Turbo.
What's the answer?
I don't know.
Tydra. She was undercover at Hydra, and that's when Mac first came out of the season, this the show.
I forgot. He wasn't everything. I forgot everything regular. Past this episode.
He wasn't a series regular at that point. And then we could see Izel, and she starts jumping from body to body, which is awesome. Which it gets even better at one point. I think it's really cool.
Piper, Deke, Mac into Piper is where we get to Piper, and then when Piper shoots her own hand, and the amount of blood that came out, I was like, well, her hand is destroyed forever because there should be a hole about the size of a half dollar through her hand.
Luckily, they have this thing where they can make arms and hands, and they can do great things.
But when she got shot in her hand, I went out loud. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, I liked Davis's reaction. He's like, no, and you can feel Davis's reaction. I thought I did a good job with that. And then it jumps from body to body to go up to the stairs into Davis, and I was like, oh, no. This is the moment where Joel went, uh-oh, this ain't good for Davis.
I thought the transfer also was really good.
It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I agreed with you.
And then she makes Davis take a nosedive, and it's brutal.
Oh, that hit. That it was pretty
bad. There's like a one camera shot for like 2 seconds, not even, where you actually see like the body just like like head first.
Oh, look out! Oh!
And it's rough, man. It's rough. And so that is.
And then it goes. And then she goes into Mac, and I've written down here, need icers.
Nice. That is the end of Davis. Interesting note. I read this on Reddit. The girl who plays Piper, I can't remember her name. She's actually a series regular now. She was signed on for a series regular, but Davis was not.
Which is weird because he's been on the show more than her this
season.
He has had more screen time. Now, she may be prominent in the next three episodes because you're saying she's a season regular, which is cool.
Series regular.
But again, Davis, who wasn't, he's probably got like 3 episodes more on her at this point.
And he's been around since season 2, I believe, where he was an appearance and he didn't have a name at that point. But then he, like one episode, but then he started making more of an appearance. He's friends.
There it is.
He's friends with the showrunners.
Ah.
His wife is actually the woman who played Quake's mom. They're married.
Oh, she was shit.
She's done a ton of stuff. She was on
Dollhouse.
Dollhouse and all that. So they're all friends. Like, they all know each other, and that's how I don't know if that's how
she was on Torchwood, too.
She was on Hawaii 5. Oh, she was on the, Lost Ship, what was the submarine one?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. What was the submarine one? With our guy
McHale's
from Brooklyn
Navy.
No, the guy from Brooklyn Nine. Oh, my gosh.
Crimson Tide.
You son of a... Do you remember the name of it?
U-571.
No, you don't remember the name of the TV show.
The Last Ship.
No, The Last Ship is another... That's a great show, too.
Thunder Down Under.
You don't remember the name.
I don't care.
Okay. But she was in that. Anyways, so that is the end of Davis. Or is it?
No, he's dead.
No, I don't know. He came back from death. He came back from death once. And we're talking... Well, we'll get into it. Okay.
Sarge... He's dead.
Sarge wakes up.
You know what? I would have thought maybe he had a chance, but when you just told me that he's not a series regular, by your very words, you've just condemned him to death.
It's very true. So Sarge wakes up. We get a moment here where Deke recaps kind of everything that happened last season for Fitz about the fear dimension.
We've seen Piper's hand being bandaged up.
Fitz puts together that the third monolith is about creation. So we got space, time, creation.
And that the energy still exists for these monoliths, even though they've been destroyed.
In the gravitonium sphere, which sealed up the fear dimension, which actually sealed up all of them. This is going to get really confusing here. So what happened was a new Coulson got created off the old Coulson, and that new Coulson got sent to a different time and space over 100 years ago in another realm, apparently.
Same DNA with... the memories of Coulson too.
Yes, but not a mechanical hand.
And the memories are suppressed.
We know he doesn't have a mechanical hand anymore, so it actually created a new hand. I think we've explained this properly.
I've gone cockeyed.
I know it's complicated.
No, so the Fitz basically Fitz. I'm sorry. Coulson is basically, for all intents and purposes, has been magically cloned with a new body. And his memories have been transferred into it, and then he's been placed over, and he's got magic powers. If you, again, like anything else with our science fiction tropes of science and fantasy, you have to throw any real thought of religion or anything out of there. When I say religion, I mean the concept of a soul. The fact that if Coulson died, and if you have that belief system of any of the major or minor religions or the alternative religions or... the ones that, whatever you want to do, they usually have something about what we are as a deity. I'm sorry, excuse me, what we have inside beyond the physical self. There's a corporeal self. So if that self of Coulson has gone to wherever souls go, this Coulson will be a clone version.
He went to Valhalla, right, where the gods are.
Well, that's in, they're all aliens, though. Because we know that in the MCU, they're all aliens. No, they're not gods. They're
the Watchers, then? He went with the Watchers?
That's an alien race. I'm just saying that that's always that.
What happened was, is they got done with the fifth season, and they're like, we're going to end this fifth season because we don't think we're going to do any more seasons, and this is how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm. They called the last episode the end.
Yeah, and then they got two more seasons, like, well, we got to bring Clark Gregg back. How do we do this?
I'm really, really, really hoping that the last episode's called The End Again.
The End Again.
This time we mean it.
So that kind of, they're going to get into it more, I'm assuming. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we come up to it. Izel, she knocks Mac out by
hanging. Well, hang on. You jumped past some stuff there. First off, they're talking. When Fitz puts this all together, Deke says, well, the other Fitz said this, and he goes, the other Fitz wasn't the smart one.
Yeah.
That was a great line of dialogue. And we also get the sequence that's happening here where Sarge is breaking his thumb to escape. This is happening at the same time as we then see Izel handcuff Mac and then mash his head into the wall, which I wrote down, smart. I'm like, she's like thinking this through, you know. I mean, she could have just killed him, but.
Well, she hasn't, I mean,
Oh, yeah, she doesn't. She just threw your favorite guy off the wall. You've already forgiven her. You're an Izel apologist, even though she took out Davis. My God, man.
Oh, no snowflake in this episode either.
Well, they locked her up, put her away.
All right, so the gravitonium device. We get to see the gravitonium device again. It contains all the energies from all the monoliths, the three monoliths. Sarge. And then Sarge comes in. And then he starts shooting Izel with a cap gun, I guess. That was the sound of a cap gun. And it does nothing.
No effect. And she basically says, you're here to join me.
You're like me.
Ignore the fact that I shot you at the beginning of this episode. You're here to join me.
And this is where we find out that he is this incorporeal entity who is inhabiting Coulson's body,
like she,
and
like
seeing
her.
His memories.
And basically also, she makes a statement here that's like, you know, you're not hurting me with these bullets, but you're actually hurting me in a different way. And
well, because she looks up to this whatever, this Sarge creature that's in her. She looks up to him because apparently he left
the
realm and then inspired her for her to leave the realm.
His real name is Pachacut.
Yes. And,
I had to go to the side of the subtitle to read this. His name is Pachacut.
We actually had mentioned that previously.
Of his name.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it because it was the Incan stuff. Wasn't that the name I had mentioned?
It sounds like it. Well, I've read a little bit about this online. This has to do maybe with Ghost Rider talking about that there was this war going on in this other realm for thousands of years, and that's what they're talking about. And that's when they talk about Ghost Rider being another being from this realm. You could say the dark dimension. You could say these are demons or devils or whatever you want to say. But we find out that he inspired Izel because he got this form. And so then she actually takes her own form, is what she said in her words. I don't know how she took the form, but she
took
her own form.
She looked at Veronica's hand, and she was like, I like that look. I want to go with that look.
Yes, but we learn that Sarge doesn't actually have a family. All of his memories are actually Coulson's memories coming to the surface.
Yes.
And so we learn that that silhouette image that we saw at the beginning in the memories was it May or
was it
Quake?
May. It was
yeah.
May.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was May. I don't know if the silhouette changed at any point, but it was May. I'm just trying to look to see if, Pachacutig is the word that's being repeated. It means the death of everything. And that's when we hear about the creator and all that kind of stuff.
Turns
this
out
is,
it's Bill
this was back in This was back in the episode The Other Thing, which is, I think the first episode of the season. It was directed by Lou Diamond Phillips.
It might have been.
1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't the first episode. But it was way back in the day. All right. Cool. So
I have sitting written down here, found the Daedalus?
Those are the monoliths. Those are the other names for the monoliths. They actually mentioned that in the previously on, too.
Yes. So Mac gets rescued.
She wants to bring the rest of her type, the Shrike, into this galaxy.
She wants. Well, they're not called Shrikes. Shrikes are the creatures here that they're going to use to bring them here. They're not Shrikes. They're going to, you know, I don't know where she kind of like birthed these Shrikes or whatever. But she wants to give their people form and freedom. So she has altruistic ideas, or is her ideas of form and freedom, are they, for all intents and purposes, demons, and they're just going to come here and ravage and destroy? Who knows?
And this is when Sarge refuses.
He won't wake up. He's like, I'm not going to wake up.
He's like, no, I don't want to do this. I want to kill you. And I'm like, all right, cool. Because, like, I don't know if Coulson's bleeding through and that's why he wants to kill her. Or
that's
is
the
it,
thought process.
Or
is
the
memories.
Or is the actual thing inside of him doesn't like her. I don't know. I don't know. We're going to find out more. And I'm excited. I want to know more because it's still really confusing. A lot of holes, and I like that.
So she comes out at the door. She sees Quake. She's like, oh. And she goes into her. But she ends up going into Yo-Yo instead.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, she was going to go after Quake, and Yo-Yo threw herself in the foreground.
Oh, I thought she was going to go after Yo-Yo, and Yo-Yo tried to move, and it wasn't fast enough.
No, she jumped in front of her.
That's cool. I didn't know that. Now, that's really cool. And she's in Yo-Yo now. She demands a ship. Max, like, yes, you can have it, only if I go with you, which I thought was cool. We find out, and there's we have a little montage here. We see that Simmons is not dead. She just got knocked out.
We see Davis being put into a body bag because he is dead. Remember that? Remember you're thinking maybe he's not dead? He's in a body bag. I believe the Karate Kid movie said it best when they said, get him a body bag. Sweep the leg,
Coulson
Johnny.
Has died twice. I want to point that out.
Oh, he's dead, though. This is a new guy.
And then, like Jerry said, with the button.
Did you see, her face is all beat? Like, you know, Sarge, they didn't show that scene where he came up and beat her in the face.
He just might have hit her from behind.
Oh, her face is all bloody. He beat a woman. He beat a woman.
Wow. Jerry
and Sarge
before,
is in his fetal position when they all come in there. He's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Jerry mentions before that in the button, Fitz mentions that they've dealt with an incorporeal creature before in Ghost Rider. That got me a little excited. I don't think Ghost Rider's coming back, but
they got a new show coming.
It would be cool, but it's not supposed to be. I don't know.
Same actor.
And then not only we get two scenes in the button, we get that scene, and then we get to see Sarge talking to himself. He's walking around. He's like, "I'm not that person," and his hand is.
What happens is that right snap. As the snap is happening, we just saw his hand start to disintegrate, and it's all going to tie into Avengers Endgame next episode.
That'd be awesome.
Well, because I saw the next week on, and they showed scenes from Avengers Endgame. I thought you saw these with me.
So now I know it doesn't deal with Avengers Endgame because I can.
Thanks for spoiling that, Jerry.
Yeah, I was excited. Now I know it's not going to happen. But no, this episode was fantastic. They killed off not a major character, but a major character. But they killed off a character. I mean, this is on the level of maybe almost like a trip being killed.
If anybody knows the actor who played Agent Davis, if we can get him on the podcast,
Maximilian
Joel would dedicate a full episode just to your whole career and you're discussing and all your thoughts, and you know, send him our way. We'll
Jerry
talk.
He's a little busy right now filming the end episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the last episode,
because he's back.
He's back.
So yes, great episode. We will be jumping in. We're gonna keep flying through these S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes week by week.
Well,
hopefully before this next one, though, we'll do our first half of the Jessica Jones season 3. I'm ready to go. I'm already up to episode. I just finished 9. So by the time
I'm almost done with 6. So I will be ready to rock and roll.
I'd like to do 1 through 7 personally.
Okay.
So if you can pop those through, we'll try and get that out to you guys, and then we'll wrap that series up. I have things I need to say about that show. So many things to say. So many things to say.
He wants to say that he loves it.
That's not what I want to say. But it's going to be fun to talk about, and we look forward to talking to you. As we leave now, I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.